Thank you, Larry. Hey, good morning, my friends, brothers, and sisters. Wow, even just the top half of your face is just a gift. Your presence, your voice, you are one of the primary ways that we see the light of Christ shine in our world. Thank you so much for joining us for worship. My name is Jake. If we can be of help to you, there are cards in front of the chairs in front of you. You can place that card in the offering basket on your way in or out. We'd be glad to respond in whatever way would be most appropriate for you. I want to take just a moment. I don't always do this, but feel led to take just a moment to acknowledge a few things and ask for your prayer. Our pastor, Cheryl Gallerno, is celebrating her birthday today. Would you join me in wishing Cheryl a happy birthday? Yeah. We are thrilled to celebrate communion and baptism today. I want to encourage you to write Ben's name down. We'll certainly say more about that later on in our liturgy. But I want to encourage you, maybe you'll take a prayer card in front of you and write a word, a prayer, or a note of encouragement for Ben. We're so proud of you, man. And I want to ask for you to write two things on your prayer list. Received a call this morning from a friend of mine, the pastor of Pilgrim Baptist Church here in town, a church that we've partnered with just a little bit in these last few months together. Pastor Michael White III asked for the prayers of our congregation for his bride. His wife, Lataya, is in critical condition due to complications regarding COVID. And if you just write the White family down in Pilgrim Baptist Church, gosh, they've been through a rough year already. And they're hopeful to open up their new facility first Sunday in October. So if you join me in writing them on your prayer list. And of course, we continue to remember Libby and Jacob and the Eubank family, Hadley and little Huxley. I want to ask those of you who practice prayer to continue to put the Eubank family on your prayer list. And they're asking for our prayers. They sense our prayers. It gives them great comfort. And certainly the Lord works in ways that are far beyond what we can see and what we understand. And so if you'd just join me in a moment now, I'd like to take a moment as we continue to join together for worship and gather for prayer. Would you pray with me? Lord, we pray in faith. We ask for a mighty work. We ask for healing and strength and rest. We ask for wisdom and provision. We pray that you would guide the hands of medical professionals and hospitals. What a miracle science is. And yet we pray that your spirit, far beyond what we can see and understand, that your spirit would give comfort, that your spirit would give strength, and that your spirit would heal all, redeem all, save all now, today, as you have forever and will do, surely even until the end of the age. Lord, take these human words, take these broken words, marry them with your salvation and your strength. We pray in the mighty name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit together. May the Lord be with you and also with you.
Good morning. I invite you to stand with me now as we participate in the call to worship together from these words from Psalm 19. The heavens keep telling the wonders of God, and the skies declare what he had done.
Each day informs the following day. Each night announces the next.
They don't speak a word, and there is never a sound of a voice.
Their message reaches all the earth and travels around the world.
Let my words and my thoughts be pleasing to you, Lord. You are my rock and my protector.
God, we lift up our hearts and our voices to sing your praises. We worship your holy name. We thank you for your love and for the grace that overflows and for the peace that is only found in you. Continue to hold us close and surround us with your comforting presence and remind us of your goodness so that we may praise you each and every day. It is in your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen.
As Pastor Jake mentioned earlier, I am so excited about today's baptism. If you have not yet had the chance to meet Ben Norman, I encourage you to do so after church today. He is a fantastic young man, and I have been so proud to get to know him. Ben sent me, what he did was he scanned the back of the order of worship with, there's a QR code back here, and he scanned it and sent me an email and said, Pastor Cheryl, I'm ready to be baptized. That's so cool. I thought that was very, very forward thinking. Ben is a leader in our children's ministry, and he has a great personality, and we affectionately refer to him as Ben 10. That is his cool nickname, and we are all so blessed to be around him, and I hope that you get a chance to know him today. Ben, would you guys like to come forward? I invite you now to join me in our litany for Ben's baptism today. The work of Jesus Christ began with his baptism. Today, we present to you Ben Norman, who has acknowledged Christ as Lord and Savior. We affirm him as our brother in Christ and as a member of this church family. Lord, your joy is our joy. as this family is renewed at the waters of baptism.
The verse Ben has chosen for today is Mark 15:16. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved."
Ben, we are just thrilled. What a gift it is to celebrate this with you. We see you. I look up to you, man. What an incredible human you are. Even a sister is proud of you. Your parents are so proud of you. I want you to see all these people. This is your spiritual family. These people will continue to walk with you. They're going to pray for you. They're going to encourage you, and you are going to pray for them. You're going to walk with them, and you're going to encourage them as well too. I admire you. I see the spirit of joy and the spirit of the Lord with you, and continue to pray for you and bless you as you continue to grow as a man of faith. And so proud of you. So Ben, do you believe that God created you? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is with you now and forever? Do you believe that Christ is your Savior and the Savior of the world? Amen. You can cover your nose there, bud. There you go. Baptized in faith, renewed to walk in life together. Amen.
Here, Ella. Come on over here. Here you go. Yeah. Perfect. Good morning. Wasn't that really cool seeing Ben be baptized? Are you guys so proud of him? I can't wait someday to see all of you in that tub. We just saw Alexa a few weeks ago. Can't wait for that day. We're so proud of him, and you guys can high five him later after church, right? He's your brother. Okay, I have something really silly and inappropriate I want to do with you guys today. For just 1 minute, will you pull down your masks? And I'm going to ask you to stick out your tongues at me. Stick them out. Stick them way out. Stick out your tongues at me. And be so inappropriate. Pastor Jake does this really well. It's one of the things he does. He does it really good. Yes. I knew he would do that for us. Yeah. Stick out your tongue really big. Sometimes you stick out your tongue when you're trying to be mean to someone and you do that. I taught school for a long time and the kids would do that in class, right? But sometimes you do it to be silly and to be funny. Did you know that that tongue in your mouth is mighty powerful? It's like one of the most powerful organs in your body. Here's what I'm thinking. Have you ever snapped off and said something ugly or inappropriate, either to someone or about someone, without even thinking about it?
Yes.
I do that all the time. I'm going to confess that. It happens. Sometimes it comes in my brain and I don't stop and think and I just say something. And then I'm like, oh, Cheryl, why did you say that? You shouldn't have said that, right? And then you have this ugly feeling in your belly. And sometimes your tongue is so powerful that you can walk in and you can walk right up to me at the back and say, "Happy birthday, Pastor Cheryl. That was one of the best things I heard this morning. With your tongue, you said that to me." Y'all's tongue is so important. And sometimes we use it for the wrong reasons. And it makes God sad, right? And it makes us sad. And it makes our parents sad. And so what I want you to do, if your tongue snaps off and says something not so nice or inappropriate, or you know something that you shouldn't have said, and you have that yucky feeling in your belly, I get it, and you think about it, and it messes with your head, right, for the rest of the day. I want you to really think about going back to that person. That's hard. Pray about it. Ask God to give you some support. And I want you to go back to that person and say, you know what? I was wrong. That was not appropriate. That was not okay. And I am sorry that I said ugly things to you. And I am sorry that I hurt your feelings. That is hard to do. It is hard for me to do, but I tell you what, your belly will feel so much better. And then I want you to think about using your tongue, this thing, right? To lift people up. We talk about it at 2B Leaders every week if you've come to our camp. One of the things we say every day at 2B Leaders Camp, we build each other up, right? And make each other feel better about themselves and better about being here. And that is what your tongue is good for, right? Expressing great words of love to all of your friends and to all of your family and to people you don't even know. You'll make somebody's day. Can you do that for me? Let's say a quick prayer and ask God to help us, and then you guys can go back with your parents or go back to preschool praise. Dear God, we thank you so much for helping us to control our tongue. Help us to use this tongue to speak words of love and compassion and care over our friends and over our family and over those who need to hear it that day. And Lord, help us especially to ask for forgiveness when we don't think and we speak with our tongue inappropriately. Lord, and we thank you so much for your forgiveness for us. We love you so much. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. If you're going to preschool praise, Miss Donna is right down here.
It's beautiful. I invite you to join me in this prayer of confession. Oh God, your word to us is the good news of Jesus Christ, and yet too often our words to others are not good news. We use your gift of speech to boast about our accomplishments. We use our words to speak harshly and to criticize. We put down other people who are different. Forgive us, O Lord. Help us to choose our words carefully and faithfully and to use them for good. May our words be like fresh water from a spring that gives life, health, and joy. Amen. I invite you to stand.
Today's epistle reading comes from James 3, 9 through 13. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks.
Just beautiful. Baptism, we'll celebrate communion in just a little bit together. If you're wondering if that means we'll have a shorter sermon, I'll see what I can do. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. James chapter 3, we're 3 weeks in, three chapters in. Those of you who particularly may not have a regular practice of reading Scripture, invite you to, you can catch right up or you can hop in chapter 3, wherever you like. Here we are in chapter 3, and I need to apologize. Last week I listed a number of football teams that were all undefeated, and I didn't include Texas Tech at first. I spent the next 20 minutes talking about Jesus, but the only emails I got throughout the week were about correcting my list. And I apologize. I want you to know we do root for the home team. We love the home team. And Tottenham is no longer undefeated. For two chapters, chapters 1 and 2, James has appealed to the church, the congregation, the people, to faithful action. It is only after two chapters of nearly single-minded concern for how we live that James takes a turn here in the third chapter to how we speak. Yeah. Two chapters of walking the walk, one chapter of talking the talk. 2-1. For James, these are odds that you can take to Vegas. If you'd like to take these to Vegas, please know that no one ever makes money off of anything that I suggest. But 2-1 stands out to me. 2-1. I suspect there are folk here who are thinking, 2-1, what are you even talking about, preacher? And yet there are many here, are there not, who love numbers and may be thinking, finally, a formula. Don't you know there are people in this room that don't want poetry or song or artistry? People in this room within an ear's shot of grace who prefer algorithm over analogy, parabola over parable, who prefer actual numbers over the book of numbers, which I think we can all agree to that one at least. 2-1, my analytical accounting friends. As a pastor, by some definition, I am paid to be ready in season and out of season. And I find myself wondering, is my life, is my faith 2-1? I'm afraid maybe at best it's quite the opposite. And yet here we are, 2 ears for listening and 1 mouth for speaking. 2 ears, 1 mouth. 2-1. 2 legs for walking and 1 brain. If I only had a brain, 2 legs for walking and 1 brain for thinking. 2 legs, 1 brain, 2-1. Is our faith 2-1? 2 parts walking, 1 part talking. The psalm says, one thing God has spoken, 2 things I have heard. Power belongs to you alone, O God. Yeah, 1-2. Yeah, the ratio of the divine are far better than ours, aren't they? Power belongs to you, O God, the one who is 1 to 2, the one who is 1 and 3, the one who is 1 and... Yeah. So what is the ratio that speaks to you? What is the ratio that's helpful for your life, 2 to 1? Maybe 1 in 7 days? Maybe the first 10 out of 100 and the preacher has gone a meddling. In the very beginning, you didn't like that, did you? You can't sneak tithing in there just wherever you want to do that. In the very beginning, in Genesis 1, we read in this poem that God speaks all that there was and all that there is and all that there will be. God speaks. This is the Genesis 1 tradition. Genesis 2 and 3, it's a different creation tradition where God takes the earth in divine hands. But in Genesis 1, God speaks creation into being. God said, "Let there be light." And it was so, and it was good. There was evening, there was morning, the first day. Yeah. God said, and it was so, and it was good, evening, morning. God said, it was so, it was good. God said, and it was so. God said, God rested. Yeah. There is in the very beginning of our scripture, and I would contend throughout its entirety, a direct connection with that which God says, that which God does, and that which is called good. Yeah. God's spoken goodness, God's enacted goodness are integrated even from the very beginning. God's word creates new life. God's word creates new life. God's activity restores to new life. Divine activity, divine identity, and divine vocabulary all together. In 19th century, American and Canadian English share a common idiom. Talk is cheap, but it takes money to buy whiskey. Talk is cheap, but it takes money to buy a farm. I'll let you determine which one is American and which one is Canadian. Later, as you well know, this idiom, this turn of phrase, was later abbreviated to talk is cheap. And in the early days of telephone, talk is cheap was a marketing expression used to encourage people regarding the affordability of phone usage. Now, P.T. Barnum, a great American entertainer, producer, was reported to say in 1858 that talk is cheap until you hire a lawyer. So for some of us, pastors and lawyers and telephone contractors, talk may be cheap. Talk may be cheap. And if talk is cheap, I suspect words are not. Yeah. Words, according to Genesis 1, words aren't cheap. Words, according to John 1, the word, the wisdom, the logos of God, in great risk and in great love, the word receives the fullness of humanity, the fullness of community, the fullness of relationship. Words aren't cheap in Genesis and in John. Words are, rather, they're creative. Words are valuable. Words are life-giving. And I wonder if you don't hear much else this morning, I wonder if those three words just might bless you as you go this week. If they just sort of bless me this past week, creative, valuable, life-giving. What if all that was known about Christians around the world really was creativity, value, those who give life? For much of his life, Matthew McConaughey was proud of his award, Little Mr. Texas 1977. All right, all right. Yeah, you like that part. And yet 3 decades later, while looking back through an old scrapbook of family photos, McConaughey found a picture of himself at that rodeo in 1977 there in East Texas when he was just a kid. He's got a cowboy hat on, he's holding a trophy, and he's got a ribbon that proudly boasts these words, "Runner-up, Taken aback in his McConaughey sort of way by the photo, he called his mother and asked his mother, "What's... Oh, that other boy's parents paid lots of money to the host organization, and so they ended up giving that other boy first prize, and that's cheating. You, Matthew, you were little Mr. Texas 1977. And I suspect we can all agree that, yes, in fact, Matthew McConaughey is little Mr. Texas, even until this very day. And if you can't say amen to that, you should just say yee-haw. Listen, I'm not here to say everybody gets a trophy. Although if you played on the soccer teams that I played on my entire life, I've never actually won a trophy. So then again, maybe I think everyone should get a trophy. A friend of mine in the Richmond Police Department said his chief of police always spoke to him in a very particular way. Always called his chief of police, his boss, always called him a very specific name. A friend of ours said, as he was serving in the force, that as a corporal, the chief of police always called him lieutenant. The chief always referred to him as a rank above. Yeah. When he was later promoted to lieutenant, the chief of police always called him captain, a rank above. And what a world we might create together. Yeah, when we speak to one another, when we speak to people in our world as though they are not runners up, as though they are a rank above. This is, I believe, the way that God speaks to you. This is the way in all of my mess, in all of my brokenness, in all of my selfishness, in all of my ego, I believe this is the voice of the Spirit and how God speaks to me. Yeah, the very biblical, spiritual. This is a highly complex spiritual concept here. It's known as encouragement. Be encouragers. I have experienced you, my friends, my brothers and sisters, to be encouragers. And let me encourage you, keep being encouragers. We are creating a world that is valuable and life-giving through our encouragement. Do you speak to people as they're runners up, or do you speak to them as they are even more? Do you speak to them the way that God speaks to us, ushering us and the whole thing forward? 2-1. 2-1 encouragement to critique. 2-1 gratitude to comparison. 2-1 cheer to advice. 2-1 walking to talking. 2 chapters about walking, 1 chapter about talking, and James summarizes here at the end of chapter 3, summarizes with this in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Then it is peace-loving and considerate and submissive and full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Yeah. Plato says, wise men speak because they have something to say, fools because they have to say something. Yeah. James, I sense all this walking and all this talking is headed somewhere. And for James, it's headed to wisdom. And I think James has this incredible idea. This is how I have received these 3 chapters in these last few weeks. James is teaching us that wisdom comes from the way we walk, the way we live, the way we speak, and something more. Yeah. Wisdom is not just walking and talking. Wisdom is walking and talking and maybe something just a little bit more. Yeah. After a celebration dance went viral online of a coach and a team celebrating in a locker room in Kansas, of all places, one football coach found himself in a new environment with a new team and even a new definition for football. And despite new challenges, despite a new locker room, despite the new accent, despite the fact that this American coach was in London, now coaching AFC Richmond, in the British Premiership, the most competitive, expensive, popular football league on the planet, don't you know, regardless of what preference you have for the shape of the ball. Yeah, Coach Ted Lasso held to one word, one idea that was creative, valuable, and life-giving. B-E-L-I-E-V-E. Believe. Yeah. Surrounded by young millionaire athletes and their supermodel co-eds, this simple word on construction paper stood as a totem of wisdom and potential. There are many words in all of the languages and all of the accents and all of the traditions. There are many words that hint at the more. And this word is one of them. Yeah, that we might walk, that we might talk, and that we might believe. I invite you to receive these words of belief, ancient sacred words in our tradition, as our prayer. We believe in one God, the Creator Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence of the Father. Through Christ, all things were made. For us and for our salvation, came down from heaven, became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human, crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried, and on the third day rose again, according to the Scriptures, ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. Christ will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom there will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, proceeding from the Creator and from the Christ, and with the Creator and the Christ, worshiped and glorified. We believe in the Spirit who spoke through the prophets. We believe in the one holy, Catholic, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm, we believe in one baptism for the forgiveness of all sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to the life in the world to come, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall ever be, world without end. Amen. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship together.
join me in prayer. Lord, we come to you incomplete, imperfect, and aware that we have no way to compare with you. We thank you for the loving message of the sermon today that we should, with your encouragement, believe and move and be positive in our world. Keep us, Lord, as best we can respond, to tame our tongue, to bring it into the use as a measure of praise for you and your glory, as we also bring our monies and our support and our wholehearted prayer for the advancement of the kingdom of God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
invite you to prepare your mind and heart and body and soul. We invite all who so choose to come and receive the table of Christ with us in just a bit. As we prepare ourselves, invite you to respond as the people with "We believe." For hope present and eternal, our hope and healing, life everlasting, and the redemption of all things, we believe. For the grace of God, far beyond our merit or our understanding, we believe. For life, life to the full in Christ, the Savior of all, we believe. For our responsibility to speak and act in a way worthy of the calling of the Holy Spirit, we believe. For our journey as individuals and as a community to ever be shaped by the incarnation, the cross, and the resurrection, we believe. For the one body and the one cup of Christ celebrated here and now and throughout the entire universe, we believe. I invite you to pray with me as we were taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At a Passover meal, Jesus with his friends, his students, and celebrating the salvation of God, not just for the Hebrew people, but as we now know, for the whole world. Jesus took the bread, he broke it, he blessed it, he gave thanks, and he shared it, saying, "Take and eat as often as you do. Do this in memory of me." After the meal was over, he took the cup and he shared it with his brothers, with his friends, with his students. And he said, "This is a cup of life. This is a cup of sacrifice. This is a cup of a new thing, the cup of Christ shared with all."
To one another.
Yes.
Brothers, sisters, friends, believe, have faith. God has faith in you. You don't have to touch it, but play like a champion today. Go in peace.